You're always there for us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that love. I thank you, Lord, for always being there. I thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for doing something that humankind can't, Lord, and that's being perfect for us. I just thank you, Lord, for letting us be here today, Lord, and gathering together as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just wondering if you guys put out a memo or something telling everybody that I was speaking today, and that's why nobody's here. Everybody's like, Tom's speaking. Let's skip vacation day. So, but I'm glad that we are here this morning, that we are in God's house, and we do have this building. I was thinking about it when I was this. To be completely honest, I think it's funny when people say that. To be completely honest. Isn't it funny when people say that? To be completely honest, they're going to be halfway to tell you a lie or something, or something like that. This sermon has been a struggle for me. I've been working on it. You can ask Roxanne. She's like, man, I just can't wait till Sunday gets here. I've changed it. I've modified it. I've whatever. But I know today's the big if, and it's really interesting because I was thinking about that, and this kind of ties it. This ties in with my sermon, but I'm not asking for more money. I'm not asking you to dig into your purses or wallets. So don't feel that away. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about how it's really interesting how long ago, before any of us even were around, somebody had the idea to build a church, and then to move that church, and then somebody had an idea to want to have us a Pentecostal church, not just a Pentecostal church, but Assemblies of God church here in Hayward, and then they bought that old church across from the elementary school. And I know I'm probably getting some facts a little messed up since I'm not from around here, but we were in that church for quite a while, bats and all, and God used that church, and we had our ups and downs, and we had salvations and baptisms, and we had our strifes, and we had pastors come and go, and it was real interesting is that we never dreamed or never thought that we thought about that another church in town, across town, down the road, what because of their strife and because of their situation, because of their closing, would benefit us. And unfortunately, it has. And that's why we're here today, and that's why we're doing the big give today, is so that we've since we moved in here, we've been through our ups and downs. We've been through the go of COVID and people coming and going and pastor leaving and all that stuff. But we're to a point now where we're getting close. We're getting close to this building, being paid off. Yeah, and who would have thought that? I mean, it's a this building is, I'm not a architect or nothing like that, but this building is, in my terms, way bigger than the other church. And and it's amazing what God's provided for us. And this is where I start rolling with my sermon, is that we all know that the church is not the building. The church is us. The church is the people, the flesh and bones, and the people sitting in the pews. And with that, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that you have provided this wonderful tool of this church, of this land. I thank you, Lord, for the people that went before, that built it, and that provided for it and took care of it. I just pray, Lord, that we can be good stewards. I pray, Lord, that we as a body, a physical body, can be a good church for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Since we are Assemblies of God Church, and since I don't think I've ever done this, I figured I would toe the line and do the right thing and speak out of Acts today. So if you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. And while you're doing that, I'll give you a little background. I mean, as majority of us know, is that first part of Acts is the church is getting started. It's getting rolling. First part of it speaks about Jesus going up to heaven, Jesus giving us one of the greatest things ever, the Great Commission. That's sermon right there. Then we move on to Pentecost, disciples and believers going out, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and something that us as individuals can still receive today. And then the text shows that Peter and John preaching and healing and confronting people about who Jesus is, was, and forever will be. But we pick up on Acts 4, and I'm covering a big chunk of scripture today, and I'm not making it like Bible class 101 because I don't like school very much, so I'm going to break it down easy chunks so we can digest it easy. So we're going to look at verse 23 first, and it says that as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. So the thing I get out here is that as a church body, the physical form, we need to communicate with each other. We need to communicate. As soon as Peter and John finished speaking with the council, they went through talking with the council, getting threatened, going through all that. They didn't return home and take a nap. They didn't go get lunch. They didn't go back to wherever. They went and spoke with their community, with their church, and shared their feelings and shared what happened. And they probably did this for several reasons. So the church knew what was going on, to give them the latest news so the church could be aware. And also probably to get the feelings off their chest, because if you go through something like they went through, they were probably going through a lot. They probably were going through what we would call nowadays trauma, and they were probably going through a lot. They had to go through a lot, and so they had to tell somebody what was going on. Nowadays, as a church body, we need to communicate with each other. And what I mean by communicate with each other is that if we've had a bad day, we need to communicate that. If we have a major prayer request, we need to communicate that with each other, or a small prayer request, we need to communicate that with each other. Also, if we have events going on in the church, we need to communicate with that with each other. Without communication, the church is going to crumble. The physical church and the us as a church body, we're going to crumble. We're not going to be as effective. I want to let you in on a little secret time. I'm good at communicating one part, but not the other part. I'm great at communication when I can tell you when an event's happening. I can tell you, you know, hey, extravaganza's happening this date, this time. You know, I can tell you, you know, whatever's going on, cleaning day, whatever. I can tell you, hey, we need this, that, you know. I can tell you, like, hey, we need this, A, B, C, whatever. That's no problem. But for me to tell you that I need a prayer request, I'm horrible. I'm horrible about that. It takes a lot for me to come down front and get a prayer request, to get prayed over. It shouldn't be that way. And I know different people are different. Different people are private. That's fine. If you are, that's fine. But for me, it's just, I don't know why I'm like that, but for me, it's just, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing because it's, I don't know the reason, but it's just, it's a tough thing for me to do that, to have somebody pray over me, whatever. But the thing is that if we are a true church body, then I should be able to have people pray over me, and I should be able to share my prayer requests. And we should be able to grow as a church body if we communicate well. The next set of verses is that we're going to look at is 24 through 30. It says, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. And they went back to the Psalms and repeated that, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The king of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord, against the Messiah, his Messiah. In fact, this happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed, but everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats, and give us your servant with great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand, your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Prayer should be our first line of defense. Prayer should be our first line of defense. Here, I just got talked about. I just talked about how I don't go down for prayer, and I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying prayer should be our first line of defense. We as a church body and as individuals should be seeking guidance in our personal lives and for our families through prayer. Not through anything else, not through cards, crystal balls, self-help books, the famous pastor that's looking for a jet, but communication through the Almighty God. The first thing they did after they got the report from Peter and John wasn't to gossip about what happened. It wasn't to like, oh, how are we going to go back and get them? You know, what's our strategic plan? You know, let's write it all out on a whiteboard, whatever. It was the prayer. It was the pray. Shouldn't we be doing the same thing? And if you notice, what's really crazy, if you notice, the church, early church, didn't pray for relief. They knew persecution was coming, but they prayed for continued boldness. David Thompson says that prayer is an important part of having victory in the church. Prayer is an important part of surviving various threats and intimidation. Prayer is an important part of having God's word boldly proclaimed in great power. God does powerful things when a church that prays, with a church that prays. We need people to pray and take prayer seriously. Prayer is amazing, and it is one of the most dramatic prayers you'll ever read in scriptures, and it shows us how the early church prayed. It took what, a few seconds? Well, probably a little longer how I read it. You know, it's what happens when a country boy reads scripture. But, you know, the first thing they did was pray when they got back. After they got the report, they prayed. And they asked God for direction. They asked God for signs and wonders. They asked God, you know, for being bold and preaching, you know. And I know some of you in this room are mighty prayer warriors. You guys go to the throne every day. Some of you guys go to God's throne 50 times a day, you know. You know, all you got to do is say one word and God knows who you are. But then there's other of us that, you know, when we pray, it takes us forever to form two sentences in a prayer. But that doesn't matter. We should all be praying something to God. God hears us. It doesn't matter to God, as long as we're having a conversation with God. We'll come back to prayer later. Just wait. Says in 31 that after prayer, the meeting place shook. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine this place shaking? Do we have enough money in the budget for the building, for repairs, for if this place shook? Paul, do we? Okay, I'm just checking, see, okay. I don't know the budget stuff anymore, so I don't know. I was just asking. Okay. All right. So, I don't know about any of you, but when I've prayed or seek God, the walls have never shook. And I've prayed to God about tons of different things, about where to move, what, about my kids, about wife, about tons of stuff, and I've never had the walls shake. You know, maybe in the Oak Church we had a few bats fly out when we were praying, but I don't think the walls ever shook. Through the prayers, Holy Spirit, we're filling them, giving them boldness. The question is that wouldn't it be amazing if this happened at this church? The Holy Spirit gives us power. And speaking of buildings and stuff like that, is that we have electricity, we have lights, we have the projector going. Yeah, we have the projector going. And we have all this stuff, and it gives us power. And the power, a lot of us don't see it, and Paul knows it all, but power, and there's a main line that goes out, and it supplies the power to this, and it goes out and it goes to a big junction, and it goes out to another junction, and I'm saying the wrong words to all that. But there's a source to this electricity. The Holy Spirit is our source. And the thing is that the Holy Spirit coming down on us, wouldn't it be amazing? This isn't in my notes, but I'll share it with you. It's extra. I got a little bit of time, maybe. I'm I'm watching time because there's something I want to do at the end. Is that I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit until I was like 10 years ago. And that was at a youth convention, mind you. And there's a difference. You can tell there's a difference. And you can tell the power. So you want the power. You want the place was shaking. The question is this church shaking? And they wanted to preach with boldness. They started to preach with boldness. Have you guys ever had somebody come to your door and they wanted to sell you something? Yes, yeah, and they're all excited and energetic, and they're like, or a campaign thing. I think it was campaign for us or whatever. And they're like, vote for this dude, or this latest thing will clean your doors and roof your house and whatever, and it's awesome. Or one of those people in the kiosk thing at the mall, and they try to get you, and you know, we'll sell you three things for $100, or two things for $150. Or, you know, yeah, it's crazy. You know, like their stuff makes no sense, but they're all energetic, right? They're all energetic. But shouldn't we be just as bold and energetic for Christ, right? Shouldn't we be just as bold? I saw it on the news of video is that Colorado, I think it's Colorado State. I'm probably saying it wrong, Colorado State. The one where Deion Sanders is the coach. And after they won their crazy game over double overtime, they stormed the field. They were so excited. They did it with bonus. They did it so crazy. And they stormed the field. Shouldn't we be doing that for Christ? Shouldn't we be doing, you know, preaching with boldness. They weren't doing things halfway. They weren't being silent, even though they were getting persecuted. Even they were getting put in front of people. You know, we should be preaching with boldness with our friends, our neighbors, our relatives. The person that stands in this pulpit and takes the title of pastor of Friendship Assembly should be doing things with boldness. When I was working on this last night, I was watching the NDSU game. It was on the background, and they were all trying to win, just like the Falcons were trying to win on Friday, and they were all trying to win, and they had a common goal. They were all trying to play, and they were all trying to win, and they were trying to a goal of winning, right? They were all trying to win. And it wasn't like they were on the field and you didn't see the guys lined up and you didn't see like four or five guys over here playing their own game. Or you didn't see like two or three guys in the stands eating popcorn and hot dogs. They were all focused on the field. They were all focused on what they had to do. They were going in, substituting, and coming back and forth and getting yelled at by their coaches or whatever. They were all one team. It says in verse 32, it says, all believers were united in heart and mind. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything. We as a church body, we should be like-minded in our hearts and our mind. This, once again, it goes back to communication. We should be like-minded in communication and what we do. There shouldn't be no, stuff going on, whatever, Like I said, team going over here, whatever. It requires vision and future, and it requires us looking ahead, not always thinking in the past, looking whatever, not a bunch of like lone rangers, doing their thing or whatever. It requires focus. It requires one team, one fight. It's not a military term. I'm getting all military just on you guys. And also, the person that takes this pulpit should be like-minded with us too. Or he should make us like-minded or whatever. So vision. There should be no one in need in our church or in our community. It says the apostles on 33, it says apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great blessings was upon them all. There are no needy people among them, because those who own land or houses would sell them and bring money to the apostles to give those in need. Okay, first of all, I am not telling you guys to go and run and sell your houses. Not telling you guys that. And I'm not telling you guys to go and write out all your checking accounts to Friendship Assembly or to Tom Cook or to whatever favorite charity or whatever. I'm not telling you guys that. So please don't say that Tom said, you know, I'm not saying that. But we as Christians and we as a church should be taking care of one another. We should be taking care of one another. We should be taking care of each other physically, mentally, and emotionally. Sometimes some people just need to talk. Some people sometimes they do need financial help. Like the Big Give Day, you guys come through. Missions, you guys come through. Projects, you guys have came through. And I want to put a little caveat on this, is that we have to be, as people and as a church, we have to be careful that we don't get taken advantage of or used. There's a point. There's a point of helping people. But we should be out there helping people, helping each other. If we have church members out here that are not eating, that are going hungry, that are whatever, we're not being a church family. 2 Corinthians, I want to read it from the slide because I have a different version on my sheet. It says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. We don't want anybody in this congregation to give mad or begrudgingly, or be like, oh, gotta give again, or man, I gotta give, or whatever. You know, we want it willingly, grateful heart. You know. So, sweet, I got time. I want to do something I've never done before. I've never done anything like this before, and it's totally out of my comfort zone, out of my wheelhouse, out of my anything. Okay. It's a kind of a unity thing. It's a prayer thing. It's a looking forward thing. It's all wrapped into one. That's what we're going to do, and I need you guys' leniency on this. Okay. All right. So, and some reason this got dropped in my brain like 2 weeks ago. I had no clue how this was going to fit into my sermon. And I know some of you guys are not prayer scholars. That's fine. You don't need to be. You only need to do one or two sentences. For those who are not prayer scholars or are prayer scholars, you don't need to pray for like 20 minutes. Okay? All right? All right? All right, this is a short thing, okay? Okay, this is how we're going to do this. I am going to give you an object, like I give you a water bottle. And I'm going to say, pick up a water bottle and pray for those who are thirsty, okay? And then you're going to pray for somebody that's thirsty, okay? Like I said, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. It could just be a short prayer. Pray to yourself. If you want to pray out loud, you can pray out loud. But pray to yourself, okay? All right, so we'll do the first one. Greg, you want to start the music a little bit? And then I'll give you instructions, okay? So I want you to, this should be easy. I want you to touch an empty pew. There should be an empty pew in front of you, behind you, somewhere there should be an empty pew. I want you to touch an empty pew. Here is where I lay. I want you to pray for those who don't attend this church anymore. This is my Okay. Okay, now what I want you to do is that I want you guys to pull out your phones. Everybody should have a phone, I think, right? If you don't, look at your spouses or whatever. Open your contacts. Your contacts, like all the people with their phone numbers. Open your contacts. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Pray that God gives you people, gives you opportunities to invite people that you know to church. Okay, now I want you to look around the building. You don't have to touch anything or anything. That's one. I want you to look around the building that God's blessed us with. Now I want you to pray and praise God that we have it. And I want you to pray that we can use it in a fresh, new way and that we can use it to reach the community. Now, I want you guys to pull out one of those black pew Bibles. You should all have one in front of you, or you can share one or whatever. Now, I want you to pray that God's word will always be preached here.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. Things you've done before in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. And there's no broken body.
Now pull out a connection card. You guys all should have connection cards in front, on those little cards. I don't have an example. On those connection cards. And pray that new people will start coming.
Victory, and I
I grab an offering envelope. Thank God that He's always provided for this church and the missionaries that we support. Now, look towards the pulpit and pray for our future pastor that he'll be a good fit for us, be God-fearing, and help grow friendship. Finally, look around at each other. Thank the Lord that there's people that come here to friendship, and that we have Friendship Church.
For the battle.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for friendship. I thank you, Lord, for the people that make up friendship. I thank you, Lord, for our future pastor. I thank you, Lord, for providing for us in the past, in the present, in the future. I thank you, Lord, for always watching out for us, for being there. I pray, Lord, guide our steps. I pray, Lord, for unity. I pray, Lord, that you just give us a good rest of the week, Lord. Continue to be with us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.